Trying is an easy way of not doing anything.
So I'm not going to try to preach. I've enjoyed listening to the testimonies, enjoyed the singing, and I hope by the time we're done, we've enjoyed being under the preaching of the Word. Take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 50. Isaiah chapter number 50. I think most of my messages from the rest of the year will be out of the Old Testament. And I think I've planned them all out, Lord willing, unless the Lord changes the heart and mind that I think where we're at. So I just want to read one verse to you. And I want to preach on this thought, a word for the weary. Verse number 4 of chapter number 50. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh mine ear to hear. Or he waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. We'll read it again. Listen. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. This is pretty interesting, isn't it? I remember many, many years ago reading that verse and making this prayer many times since that time. Lord, help me to have the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I want us to consider that thought, a word for the weary. Brother Jack gave a great testimony in connection with that. I asked him this morning to do that. And I didn't know what he was going to give testimony about, but I asked him if he'd lead in prayer and give a testimony. I think everybody needs to hear a testimony because it gives us courage to give a testimony, and it gives us confidence that if God has done it, he will do it again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I'm thankful, Father, that you love us and care for us. And I'm glad, Lord, whenever we're weary and troubled of heart, you always have a word in season. Now, Lord, as your servants, help us to know what that word is and to be able to speak it to those that are needful. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to consider something with me this morning. I want you to think about early of a morning as two people, separate people, get up and go on their way. They're going to face a world that you face and I face, and they may or they may not know each one personally or professionally. But these two people have a divine meeting, and they don't even know it. Oh, Miss Pam, you and Caitlin, come on down. I decided this year I'm going to get all of my examples from the back. All right? So, come on, Miss Erin. You and Miss Pam, come over here on this side, and you guys can just sit down. And Pam, Miss Kim, oh, no, you, what are you trying to get out of this for? Come on. Yeah, yeah. Look, she's still trying. Do I go or not? Yeah. You guys can sit over here wherever, okay? Appreciate it. Now, Miss Pam said she would be a guest if I didn't make her sing. No, this Pam did. Okay. This Pam did. So I'm not going to make her sing, but that does leave a wide open area for a lot of other things. She may never volunteer again. And so we have two people. I want you to, these two people are separate. These two people get up of a morning. And they are ordinary people. They face ordinary problems of life. They could be men, they could be women, they could be teenagers, they could be little kids. I just use these two to get the point across. The case is the same regardless of their gender, regardless of their color, regardless of anything else that we want to stipulate. Problems come to people of all kinds. These two over here are just ordinary people. Same as these two over here. They're not necessarily designated by their gender, by their color, by their anything else. They're just people. But today, in the professional life or in the personal life or somehow, these two people on one occasion or another is going to meet these two people. And what's going to happen after this meeting is going to make a life-changing difference. Today will be like no other day for these two people to meet. Whether they're in school or whether they're at work or whether they're at Walmart or whether they're at the gas station or whether they're at Aldi's or whether they're at Orchland's or whether at their fast food restaurant or wherever the case may be. These two people are going to leave their homes and meet one another by divine purpose. God ordained purpose. Every morning when you leave your house, if you're a Christian, you leave with a divine purpose from God. Whether you accept it or not, that's why you leave your home. And the people that you come in contact with are not by accident, but are with divine purpose from God. You say, well, I don't know who these people are. Well, have you ever gone through the day and the busyness of the day and you just get caught up and you talk to people and you go through life and you come home and you can't remember a person you saw or something you said or anything? I mean, just get busy, amen. I mean, we got busy lives and things going on and you're here and you're there and all of a sudden the day's over and your life is over as far as that day is concerned and you're sitting at home and you've never one time made contact with somebody on a personal level. So who are these people? Well, I want to introduce them to you. I want to introduce to you these two over here first. They're separate people, but they represent people. I could have a guy up here, but these two will work. Okay? These are what we're going to call the weary strangers. All right? The weary strangers. They don't seem to be weary. They seem to be just ordinary people dressed up to go to church, to go to work, to go to school, to function in life as everybody else would. They seem to be normal, amen. They seem to be just like people, just like everybody else. The weary stranger, though, has had some, as the world would say, misfortunes, some troubles along their way. The word weary means fatigue. It means exhausted by the struggles of life. The word has the idea of being being weakened by repeated trouble that comes along. Possibly, this one here is having marriage problems. Could be. there's, since divorce rate's over 50%, I would say somebody you meet in the daytime is having marriage problems. Maybe this one over here is having struggles with parenting. You say, well, her kids might be grown. Well, I don't mean parenting's any less. Maybe the one you meet is dealing with younger children, and they're about to give up. You know, there's a point in everybody's life whenever they just kind of, whether they do it like this or not, where they throw their hands up and they say, you know what, I'm done. I read a sad, sad article yesterday on Google News. So if it's not true, then they lie. A girl living, 27-year-old girl in New York, hung herself. She was a nutritionist. She came from a good family. She had a very good career. But she left her mother a note and apologized to her mother and said, there's just a point where you just give up. And she hung herself. Now, what in the world could wrestle on a young 27-year-old girl's mind so heavy that they look out in the future and see no future at all? I'll tell you what, the ongoing struggles of life. Possibly, we have a teenager. You say, oh, what's a teenager got troubles about? Well, according to all the statistics, quite a bit. We have a high rate of suicide among teenagers. But she gets up, and maybe she comes from a good home. But you know what? She's got a lot of problems wrestling around in her mind. One of them, this one over here, might be having financial trouble. And she just don't know what to do. Maybe they're possibly having physical problems that come along in life. Possibly they're just personal issues. You know, people have personal issues. We have a great attack, as they did in the days of Jesus, upon our mind. And the mental issues that people face today are quite common. All I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is there are people that are laboring and are heavy laden today, filled with the cares of this world, and if we're not careful, we'll go through the entire day and we'll never see her or her other than we just see them as a face. Now, I don't want to promote this, but I will tell you, the Tallies many years ago wrote a good song about empty faces. I believe it was Kurt Talley who was at a hockey game, and he said, I was sitting there watching all of the people. He said, I wasn't watching the game, but I was watching the people. And he said, I began to watch people's faces. And I'm here to tell you today that there are multitudes of people wishing that somebody would recognize the struggle and that they could somehow share their burden and let somebody help them along. Well, it's Monday morning. It's bright and early in the morning. They got to go to work. They got to go to school. They got to get on with the day's life. And they get up worrying through the night, troubled through the night, troubled over the weekend, troubled about life, troubled about whatever issue we're talking about. And they whisper some sort of a prayer. Even an unbeliever might say something like this. God, I need somebody to help me. If you're real, please help me. Maybe the night before, one of these two, don't know, maybe both of them as far as I know, maybe both of them went to the bed with tears running down their eyes. Maybe in the marriage, maybe the husband went to one room and the wife went to another room. Maybe the teenager had finally had enough and had shut the door so hard in her family's life that, you know what, I'm just thinking, if this is the best there is, I'm going to leave and go and do my own thing, or possibly this ain't worth the struggle. I'm telling you, there's weary people out there all around us. and they get up in the morning and they get dressed and they put on their makeup or they comb their hair. If they're a guy, they better not be putting on makeup. And they get dressed and they face the world. And when they get to the office, they may smile. They may have just a little different agenda about them. Or appearance about them. They may have a little different attitude about them, but they, you know what, it's work. I got to go through this. I got to get it done. And all through the day, they're worried and troubled over things. And we're thinking, man, is this going to be a bad week? Did they get up on the wrong side of the bed? I remember years ago when we lived in Illinois, on Channel 5 News, there was a broadcaster, a weather broadcaster. His name was Bob. I can't remember his last name. He was a case. I'm telling you, this guy was hilarious. And he was always looking for somebody to join in antics with him. Well, they hired a guy who was the sports director. And I think he's still there today. And them two teamed up. And I'm telling you what, they got to going on the radio and they had wrapped the weather. They had rap sports. I mean, they were hilarious until one day. And whenever Bob did the weather, he never just did the weather. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, yeah, it's going to be sunny today tomorrow. I mean, it's like 20 minutes doing the weather. It was worth watching. But I remember one night, very clear in my mind, he got up, he said, today this, that, and the other, and that was it. And I think I even told you that. I said, that was strange. He left KSDK, went over to the Spirit of St. Louis, got in his airplane, went straight up, turned it right down, and went straight down. Who would have known? And Miss Pam and Caitlin represent people that you and I are in contact with day after day, that are that close. Troubles, problems, difficulties. The weary. They're all around us. The weary stranger, that one that's, you know, you can only put up with so much fussing in your home before you just throw your hands up and say, I'm done. I ain't saying that's right. I'm just saying that's the way we are. You can only take so much financial trouble and burdens and problems before you just throw your hands up in the air and say, this is it, I'm done. There's only so much time that you can put up as a teenager with what you think is unreasonable treatment or the problems or the pressures of school and the bullying that we're hearing about today. And all of a sudden you just say, I'm done. And most people have no idea that it's even taken place. Well, guess number two. They're right here. They are the ready helpers. Now, they're quite different than these two over here. On this night, over the weekend, these two have been worried and troubled and discouraged and despondent towards life. These two over here, tonight, after we get done with church, they're going to go home and they're going to stretch out on the bed and think, boy, isn't God good? They're going to lay their head down on the pillow and they're going to sleep all night and never give a care in the world for anything that goes on. God is good. These people over here remember early in the morning before they left home, before they any confrontation or slamming of dishes or confrontation at school or confrontation at work or the troubles of the bill collectors ever come. They remember they whispered that little prayer that said, God, if there is a God, and God, if you're listening, could you help me today? Well, these two over here, they get up early in the morning too, long before you should. Only theirs is not like theirs. These get up worrying. These get up fretting. These get up troubled. You know what these get up and do? These get up and they get in their closet. They get alone with the Lord. They get their Bible out and they do a little reading. They do a little praying. And they end up their praying that says, Lord, or before they begin to get close to God, they say, God, would you give me something today? I mean, it's early in the morning. I'm going to emphasize that over and over for these two. It's not at 7 o'clock at night. It's not when the day is done. These two have been up early in the morning, and they are trying to get close to God, and they love the Lord, and they want to hear from God. And little do they know that they are going to have a meeting with God that is not just because they prayed, but because possibly somebody else prayed. So they're in their closet and they're praying and they're reading their Bible and they get real still, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gives them a word. Might give them a verse, might give them a principle out of the Word of God. I mean, these two over here, man, they get out of the closet after about an hour in there. Man, they've had time with God. They've had time rejoicing in God. They've had time praying. They've had time in the Bible. And God has blessed their soul. God has fed them. And they come up out of the closet. They get ready for work. And boy, things are going good. Man, they're just delighted. Boy, praying and asking God to use them that day to be a help to somebody along their way. Asking God to use them to be a blessing. And little did they know that the God of heaven, the creator of all the universe, has interest in them to give them a word that they could pass to somebody else. So here they go. They go through life. Let's say that Pam and Aaron work together. And so you know, they've kind of known each other, and maybe Aaron knows a little bit of the circumstances. It's possibly, maybe she doesn't, I don't know. You know, never know sometimes till somebody tells you. And so they're going through the day, and all of a sudden they're going to come in together, and they're going to meet. They're going to meet. And they're just not going to meet, as we would say, by accident. But remember that this one has asked if there's a God in heaven, that he would speak to them, somehow help them. This one over here has asked God, God, give me something that I can use for the day. And the God of heaven is going to orchestrate a meeting between Aaron and Pam today. And it's not going to be like any other meeting. This meeting is going to be a God-ordained meeting. This is not going to be about the weather. This is not going to be about the Super Bowl. This is not going to be about the things that's of absolutely no value at all to life. This is a divine meeting by God for spiritual things. So they come and they meet. And notice the Bible says, he waketh me morning by morning. Every morning. He waketh mine ear morning by morning. That means every morning she's been up. And I personally believe, ladies and gentlemen, that every day you can get something from God to give to a weary stranger along the way. I'm not talking something politics. I'm not talking something about sports or weather or any of the things. I'm talking about something that'll help them. So boy, up every morning, they're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're in their closet, and they hear God speak, and he gives them something. Now we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. Well, you know what God always does with the bread in the Bible? He breaks it, and he blesses it, and he gives it to those that are present and all eat. So she not only got bread for themselves, but they got bread to share. The Bible says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what they've been saying. Remember Samuel, he said, Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. That's what these have been praying. And sure enough, in their Bible time, they have seen something wonderful in the Bible. And oh, how it's blessed them. And they hide that word in their heart and they think about it throughout the day. And they go through the day, and all of a sudden, Aaron and Pam meet. And they maybe at work and they're talking. And maybe the Holy Spirit gives Aaron just a little bit of insight that, boy, you know, something's not right with Pam today. You know, she, you know, sometimes I know kind of been struggling for the last few weeks and doesn't seem like herself, as we might say. And boy, and I just wonder maybe what's wrong with her. Maybe she whispers under her voice, you know, Lord, if I could help. Sure enough, they meet throughout the day. Sometime that goes to work, and they meet they come together, and just out of casual talk of business, you know, maybe exchanging papers, maybe talking about the business of the day, and Aaron introduces the subject. She said, "Well, Pam, how are you doing today?" Pam said, "Well, you know, I guess all right. Been having some troubles." Huh. Wonder where that came from. Maybe. Is it a coincidence that Aaron asked a question and Pam answered a question? I don't think so. And so Pam and Aaron, they said, is there something I can help you with? And all of a sudden, Miss Pam starts telling her this story. Whatever it is, I don't care what the story is. You know what Miss Pam's needing? She's needing a word. She's needing an encouraging word. She doesn't need somebody to look down there and say, "Well, I'll tell you what, if I was married to that husband you was married to, I'd be leaving that rascal too." "Well, you know what? You know what? If you was just a better mother, you'd just..." "Well, I'll tell you, we could always do that, don't..." She doesn't say that kind of a word. You know, ladies and gentlemen, whenever people are discouraged and down, they don't need anybody else to tell them how discouraged and down they are. They're pretty much aware of it. Hey, listen, when you fall, you don't need anybody to point it out you're down. You're just looking around hoping nobody else sees you. Amen? Listen, when you screw up, you don't want nobody else to point it out. They don't have to. Boy, aren't we good at that though? Failure, failure, failure. And we don't want that. We don't want that judgmental spirit. You know what we're looking for? We're looking for somebody who will help bear our burdens in a time of need. So Miss Pam, she starts telling Aaron, she says, "You know," she goes, "boy," I said, it's just been having some troubles." And Aaron said, "Well, you know, is there anything I can help you with?" Boy, Aaron's thinking, "Hey, listen, you got to do this on purpose." Aaron's thinking, "What can I give her from God?" Hey, listen, don't give her what you think. Let me stop. Now just listen. If you listen to your own advice and screw your life up, why would you want to give that sorry mess to somebody else and let them screw their life up? Amen? Okay, jump back in now. All right, so she's not looking at telling her how to fix her problems. You know what she's thinking? "Lord, help me to help her." And instantly the Holy Spirit brings that word. And Aaron says, "You know what, Miss Pam?" She don't have her Bible, but you ought to. She said, "You know what? I everybody faces problems. And you know what, Miss Pam? There is hope. And there is help. And I was just reading today in the Bible, and God gave me something that I think might help you." Interesting, isn't it? God just didn't give her something. God gave her something that would help her. Why? Because she prayed, and she prayed. And God moved a divine appointment for these two to meet. Miss Pam said, "You know, I'm having marriage problems. I'm having kid problems. We're having financial problems. We're having, I've got some bad news from the doctor about my health. You know, any of these kind of problems." And Aaron says, "Well, let me tell you something. The Lord gave me something this morning that just really helped me that I think will help you in this time." And she shares with her a word. My favorite things to read about Jesus is in those desperate, despised situations. I never see Jesus as some of our folks see him, as a standoffish guy. My favorite story of all of Jesus is when he goes into that city of Nain. That is my favorite story. And out comes, as Jesus is going in, they're bringing out, carried on the shoulders of six or seven men, a young boy, probably maybe late teens, early 20s, dead. And behind him, I see a little old widow woman. That's what she was. She had lost her husband. And I see a little old woman just brokenhearted over her only son. And I don't see Jesus just, you know, going up and saying, "All right, lady, what's the problem? Let me help you." No, I see Jesus coming over and patting her on the back and loving on her and letting her know that, you know what, no matter how dark and drear the day seems, there is hope. He stops that, and there's that little old woman crying her eyes out, and Jesus, whatever his name, boy, get up, ever how he said it, I don't remember how he said it. Man, that little boy, don't you know that changed that little old girl's heart? Man, don't you know she got a smile on her face and a step in her foot that she never had before? I think of Mary and Martha, and Martha went out and said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother not died," and surely that was true. But whenever Mary said it, it moved the heart of Jesus, and the Bible says he wept with them. And he says, "Where's he at? We got to take care of this." You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's just something about a broken heart that'll make you want to help somebody if you're a Christian. So Aaron has her word, and boy, I tell you what, and Pam thinks about it, and she goes, "Yeah, that's right. That's what I need." She don't need a sermon. She needs a word. A word. Well, we have another person over here. We have a weary stranger number two. Here is Caitlin. And Caitlin, you know, she's dealing with some home problems. She might be dealing with some school issues. She may be dealing with some personal issues. You know, girls have a problem being accepted. And, you know, are they pretty enough? Are they not pretty enough? And all, you know, all them goofy things girls worry about. Do I have enough friends? Am I accepted in life? And blah, 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 blah. You know why? That's why most of us don't see those problems, because that's the way we think of them. But to her, they're real. Maybe she's having problems at home. Maybe, now I don't think this, but and I just want to use this as an example. You know, just because her mom and dad sitting here in church don't mean they're good people at home. Could be, not them. But you know, we could run into a teenager that has abusive parents. We could run into teenagers that have moms and dads that might be strung out on drugs and hurtful and harmful to them that we don't know a thing about. Sexual abuse is abounding today. Maybe we run into a teenager like that, and they're all of a sudden, you know, they're just withdrawn and they're just kind of different. Maybe they're just like that, and they're just looking for somebody to help them carry a burden. Well, just so happens, isn't this a great coincidence? Miss Pam got in the closet this morning. Got down on her knees and got with the Lord, got her Bible out, and she prayed a prayer like this: "Lord, would you give me something today? Open thou mine eyes and speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And sure enough, in that time of her praying and her time of Bible reading and her time of getting close to God, sure enough, God gives her something. How about this? How about this young girl? Like many others, not her particularly, but she represents a bunch of them that may have just found out that awful P word and is contemplating the big A word. Now what do? I'm pregnant, 17 years old. I've got my whole life in front of me, and now I'm going to have a baby. What am I going to do? I haven't even told my mom and dad yet. And you know, my dad, he's going to throw a fit. Well, if he's a normal dad, he is. And his mama, she's going to think all kinds of bad things about me. I can't even imagine the emotions a young girl goes through. And then, of all things, that rascal that happened to be there at the moment that that happened suddenly doesn't think we ought to see each other anymore. Has felt a little different calling of life. You talk about being all alone. Right there is representing multitudes of girls around our community and around the world. But she prayed a prayer. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. God, could you help me? If there's any help at all, could you help me? This one over here is praying, Lord, I'd love to have something from you so I could, you know, have some daily bread. And boy, the Lord lays it on her. Man, she gets up out of the closet, gets ready to go through life. Maybe she's the teacher. And she notices Caitlin's kind of been a little bit different today than she has been in, you know, last weeks. And maybe just out of a common courtesy and such, she hands her a paper and says, Caitlin, how you been? You know, about that time, man, Caitlin, the eyes fill up with the tears and the heart begins to break. And Pam realizes that, you know what, there's trouble. Or maybe Pam's just at the store. Maybe she doesn't know Caitlin and she sees this young girl just with red eyes. Maybe she could just walk up and say, you know, is there something wrong? Is there something I can help you with? Notice you've been crying. Is there, you having trouble? Oh, preacher. Oh, we can't do that. You're having convulsion. Well, then quit praying for a word. You see, everyone in here can see somebody and know that they have a need if you ask God. So she goes up to her and she says, young lady, I notice you're crying. She says, is there something I can help you with? And all of a sudden, to a complete stranger, that young girl pours her heart out. What am I going to do? Just so happens, I have a word. I don't have a sermon that said, well, you ought to know not to have been doing that stuff you were doing, you bunch of rebellious young people. And that's interesting. Now, we weren't rebellious. Just this generation is rebellious. Well, you ought to know better than to have unprotected sex. Well, you ought to know better than to be unkind to your mom or your dad. Or you know what? Your dad is a worthless bum. And boy, I tell you what, this, that, and the other. Boy, aren't we great at pointing out what is the obvious? She has a word. So we have a weary stranger. I know it's late, but I'm going to get the message across because we need this. We have a weary stranger. We have a ready helper, but we have a loving God. God in heaven heard them to pray and said, I can take care of that. Comes over here and gets these two and lines them out for the day. And then by divine power, orchestrates for these two to meet and particular words to be said to spark the conversation. Since you have your Bibles open, turn over to Psalm or to Isaiah 57. Don't you all move yet. Psalm 57, I want you to look at that verse. I've got my Bible just marked up with all of these kinds of verses in Isaiah. I just love to read Isaiah and read these verses. Here is one of my favorite verses to read in the book of Isaiah. Not my favorite, but one of my favorites. Verse chapter 57 and verse 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Here is the God of all eternity who is touched with every feeling of infirmity that says, here's a broken and contrite heart. And God said, you know what? I'm going to leave heaven. I'm going to go down here and see what's going on. And that's how close God is to those that are brokenhearted. You can say, well, they ain't them to lost people. Well, I could give you several pictures in the Bible, like Hagar. One of my favorite stories about Hagar is whenever she's so distressed, she puts Ishmael over her way, she goes over and starts crying and says, oh God, I'm going to die, my boy's going to die, and what are we going to do? And the angel of the Lord comes down and says, Hagar, it's all right. I'll take care of you. Right over yonder is a well. And the next thing we know, Ishmael's got him a wife and got him a nation. Seemed like God just might care about them poor little old people that nobody else cares about. Sarah didn't care about her. The loving Lord. Do you know this, that God in His grace not only answered their prayer, but answered this prayer? Now here's the subject of the message. That was all introduction. Here's the message. Okay? Every day, you and I ought to be up early in the morning before we ever have contact with anybody getting a word from God. Because somebody is depending on a word from God. And God is going to give it through you. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, I just like sleeping late. Then don't ever expect to have a word from God. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Tim, it's just so hard to get in the closet. Hey, listen, you think that's hard getting in the closet, you ought to be going what these three folks are going through. Well, I'm just not the talking kind. Then you're not the servant kind either. You're not the blessing kind either. Well, I tell you what, I have a hard time saying things whenever, well, wait, maybe I can illustrate this. Come here, Miss Jean. Now, Miss Jean is your average church member at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. She goes to work out at the prison. She meets all kinds of good people out there. But you know, she is, she goes to church and she's involved in Awana and she comes and she tithes and, right? Okay. And she attends. But you know what? This thing of being a Christian just takes a lot of my time. So she wants to get up in the morning and, you know, she's got to fix her hair and get her makeup on and get dressed, and she's got to, you know, maybe think about supper that night, and maybe she's got, you know, she got grandkids up in St. Joe, and, you know, she's got to FaceTime them just real quick, and, you know, she's got to do all that. And I'm not being critical of her, I'm just using her as an example, and I know these things about her. So, you know, she's busy, and she's got things to do, and she's got places to go, and you know what, Brother Brian's out there, he's the captain, she got to make him look good and show up on time every once in a while, and so, you know, I mean, she's just busy, busy, busy. And of course, Brother Tim's been preaching on read your Bible and pray and this, that, and the other. And she said this. She said, but you know what? If the preacher really knew how much struggle it was for me in this life to go through time and to get up early, and I stay up late, and, you know, to get up early after you stay up late is awful hard. And you know what? I think I'm just going to skip today. By the way, I got enough yesterday out of that great preaching he did. Probably don't need nothing today. She runs into them too, and she can't say a word. You know why? Now, I'm not being critical of her, I'm just using her, because she represents all of us here. You know why she can't say anything to them? She doesn't have a word in season. She may have a word, but it's not a word in season. And you ought to study that in Proverbs. I think I'll read them verses before I quit today. But you know, God intends every day for you to get up early in the morning and let your ear hear from Him so that when you go through the day, you have a word for somebody in season. I've made it no issue at all that I like bread. I love bread. But you know what I don't like? One kind of bread, and that's stale bread. Bread that's been out in the air. I don't mind bread toasted, but I just don't like it stale. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Any of us in this room that don't get up early in the morning and get with God and get a word from Him is going to try to feed somebody stale bread, and it ain't going to be worth having. Miss Jean runs into them too. She runs into that one. She sees that little girl crying over there and says, boy, there must be something wrong in her life. Sure hope somebody helps her. Goes on her way, pushes her cart, and goes on the way. She sees Pam at work, and she says, Pam, how you doing? Well, not very good. Well, just hang in there, girl. It'll get better. Boy, what advice that is. You know? See, she didn't have time to get a word. Her ear had... too many other people had her ear. Remember Jesus saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord saith. I wasn't picking on you, I was just using you. You better get in the closet or I'll really use you next week. So let me ask you this. Come this week, is God going to be able to use you to answer their prayer? Or are you just going to go through life without ever noticing somebody that has a need? I'll read the verse again. Isaiah said this, and I've prayed this many times. I don't say I pray this every day, but I try to make myself available to it at all times. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Have you ever tried to say something in a difficult time and you didn't know how to say it? That's not the tongue of the learned. The tongue of the learned is to know how to say what to say, when to say it. And it may be something difficult. Like, you know what, Miss Pam? I'm really sorry you're having these troubles. But you know what, sister? Your relationship with the Lord's kind of shaky, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe if this is a way of God helping you to get back to Him. Those are just as important words as the words of this. You know what? I don't know why this is happening, but I'm sure going to pray for you. And I'm going to lift you up to the Lord. Now, both of those words are fit in the right time. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to give us a word. So the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Here's what I want you to pray for this week, today, before we ever leave here, whether you come here at the altar or whether you pray in there. God, I want to be that one who has a word. Now here's your two options, okay? Either you have the word or you be the weary. So I'm just going to say which is the best side is to have the word. Amen? Just have the word. Say, God, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to pray. I'm going to get in the Bible. And God, I want a word. And then I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit saying, right there, that person has a need. I remember one time going out visiting, and it's almost noon, so I know what time it is. I didn't start preaching until 10 after, so I'm okay. I remember going out visiting up there at go up William Street, and the apartments right off to the right there, the gray ones or blue ones, whatever they are. And if you go down that first street, and almost down at the end, on this side was a little short foreign lady. I don't know what she was. She was foreign, so I can tell you. And she come to the door, and I invited her to come to church. And she's I would say probably Muslim religious type of thing, maybe not. Somewhere along, you know, she wasn't a Christian, I can tell you that. And so I asked her, I said, how did you end up in Moberly? So she's telling me she's living with somebody and this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, this little girl just, I mean, she's older than I am. My goodness, she is well up in her 60s, maybe even 70s. Man, she just starts crying. I'm thinking like, good. I don't do good with girls crying, all right? I'm thinking, oh, Lord, even so come Lord Jesus, amen? I'm thinking, somebody's going to come by and think I'm beating her up or something, you know? And so I finally asked her, I said, ma'am, what in the world is wrong with you? I remember her name then. She goes, I'm having trouble here, and my son-in-law really don't want me to live here, and I don't know what to do. She goes, what do you think I ought to do? So I told her what I thought. I said, do you mind if I have prayer with you? She goes, oh, would you? I'm talking to somebody that doesn't even believe in our God. So I prayed with her. Went on my way. My advice to her was to move to her other daughter's house. The only advice I knew. You see, folks, there's people all around you that's got a broken heart, that's weary from the daily struggles of life. Son's in drugs. Daughter's messed up. Husband's messed up. Wife's messed up. Family's in shambles. Being bullied at school, and they just need somebody. I'll finish it with this verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the verse. I don't apologize for preaching as long as I did. I think the message is so relevant to each one of us, that most of the time, God, we never get a word and we never see people in need. And Lord, I've been guilty of this so many times, but I ask you again to help me to have the tongue of the learned, that I might speak a word in season to him that is weary. God, help me to wake up early in the morning so that I might hear from you. I pray, Lord, through this week, as we come in contact with the weary, that God will be able to have a word. Not a hateful word or judgmental word, but a word of encouragement and help. A word of strength and a word of power and a word of love. Multitudes of people are represented by Miss Pam, by Caitlin, and by others. Father, help our church. Help us as Christians to get off of our self-centeredness and to really look at the needs of others, in Jesus' name. I want us to stand together. Hold on, Miss Rachel, before you play. Come on, stand up. How many of us are guilty of going through life and never knowing, having a word? Yeah. The rest of you,